You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Well, good morning. The scripture reading is in Matthew 26, verse 36 through 45. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took him with him, Peter, and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to sorrowful and very heavy. Then he saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and he findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, What could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation, but the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again for the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for the eyes were heavy. And he left them, and he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cameth he to the disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now, and take ye your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is to be betrayed in the hand of sinners. Father God, we pray you add your blessing on the reading of this, your holy word. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
This is kind of a unexpected, to some extent, visit for us. 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks from now, we're scheduled to be here because Luke's board meeting is going to be here in Oklahoma City, and we were looking forward to being with you then. And this was an unusual situation. About 8 years ago, I had a young girl in my parole class, a Spanish girl who served time in Oklahoma and was paroled back to Odessa. That's where she lived. She was pregnant at 15. She was using drugs at 16, 17, 18, got put in prison here and served time down at Muskogee in that prison. I can't remember the name of it. And then came back and she was a charming young lady, got to know her a little bit in my class. She had 12 weeks to put up with me because then my parole class, it's a 12 meeting class. Not a 12-step program. It just has 12 parts to it, and it takes 12 weeks to get through it. And then in the process, we helped get her a job and got to know her a little bit, and the people that she was working for got real interested in her, so her parole officer, she had befriended some people up here that had a young lady, their own daughter, in prison. And to make this a shorter story, she started going to school, ended up coming back up here. She wanted to be an attorney. And so for the last 8 years, she's been going to school and working. She's been up here, I guess, the last 4 or 5. She's been in this church a few times. I've never told this because she's been here, and I didn't want to probably embarrass her, and probably wouldn't tell it this morning if she were here. But she called me and said, Leland, before I take my bar exam, they have to have a hearing on whether I would be a threat to society. Now, this really surprised me because every attorney I know is a threat to society, so why would you have a hearing like that? You know, but and she said, could I get you to come up and testify for me? And so that's why we're up here. Also, her parole officer came. We had this hearing yesterday. I got to sit down with this austere group of people that asked me questions about her, and then we left. Derek came and got me and left, and I didn't know how she'd come out. Then, well, she can't take the bar exam if she doesn't pass this particular hearing. Well, she passed the hearing. So she'll get to find out. She's already taken the bar exam. She'll find out whether she passed or failed. But it was a unique experience for us because I've met a lot of attorneys that got incarcerated. I've never met somebody that had been incarcerated to become an attorney. So this was new ground for us. And And most of the people we see just fail, and then they fail again, and then they fail again. And so we thank God for her, and y'all pray for her that she'll keep focused on where she needs to be, and that's Jesus Christ. In your Bible today, we read the scripture, Matthew chapter 26. I want to talk a little bit about prayer and the prayer in the garden. And we're getting close to Easter. In a few weeks we'll have Easter, and this is the night before. This is the night before this night is ended. Jesus will be arrested. Where are we going to read? He will be arrested. He'll be taken before the Sanhedrin. He'll be condemned. And so I don't have any fancy titles. It's just prayer in the garden. They've had the supper. They've been together. Jesus has talked to the disciples. Judas has left to go make his deal to betray Christ. And what lies ahead, and Jesus knows this. This is nothing new to him. He's not surprised about these events. He knows what's coming, the beatings, the threatenings, the scoffings, the mockings, the cross, and no death. The Roman government introduced crucifixion as a form of capital punishment. And it was extremely cruel because people could live for days on a cross before they died. It's not that quick thing that we have today, and even as they had many times then. But it was a long time. But it's not the cross. But we see that when everybody's kind of gone, or when Judas is left and the supper's over with, Christ has this desire to pray, starting at about verse 36. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, Set ye here while I go and pray yonder." He set 11 of them there. He took Peter, James, and John with him a little further into the garden and told them to watch. He said, "Just watch for me." As his watch protect, because he knew the people were coming. He said, "Will you just watch for me?" And he goes back into the garden, and just him and the Father alone, and he begins to pray. We'll find that he came back in a little bit, and Peter and James and John are asleep. And he said, "Could you not watch with me? Can't you just watch?" As they said, the flesh is, the spirit's willing, but flesh is weak. And it still is with us. And then he goes back and prays again the same prayer. And then he comes back and they're asleep again. And he said, "Couldn't you just watch with me for 1 hour? That too long a time?" And then he does this. He prays the same prayer the third time. Now, it's just Jesus and the Father. Prayer is kind of a unique thing in the Bible anyway. Of all the things that we Christians ought to be able to do good, it's pray, what you'd think. And yet the Bible tells us that we need to have the Holy Spirit to take our prayers. And he said, "Likewise the Spirit helpeth with our infirmities, because we know not how to pray as we ought." I found in my life there's four answers to prayer. I found there's yes, I found there's no, I found there's later, and I found out, Leland, you got to be kidding. I'll probably get that one more than any other. But one good thing about prayer, let me tell you about prayer. Paul said that we could ask anything we wanted to ask. He said, "Let your request be made known unto God." Now, he didn't promise that God would answer those requests like we wanted him to, but he did promise us, if we'd be upfront, honest with God, that he would give us the peace of God that passeth all understanding. So I think we can be very honest with him, and because he already knows anyhow, doesn't he? And so we might as well be. But Christ has just that solitary prayer, and I would imagine that each of us, probably the most times that we have really been open, honest, sincere to God is when it's just us and the Father. Not And I'm all for corporate prayer. I'm all for group prayer. But there comes a time, and I'm going to tell you, if you've ever prayed, you've had this time when it's just you and the Father. And it was a scriptural prayer. That's what he said, "Oh, my Father." He didn't say Mary. He didn't say Buddha. He didn't say Allah. He didn't even say some higher power. We work a lot in drug and alcohol field just because of the criminal justice ministry we're in. And I hear a lot about higher power. But see, a higher power is that light. But it's not personal. That's just a power. We have a personal Father, not a higher power. So he prayed, "Oh, my Father." This is scriptural prayer. Then the next thing, we noticed it's very specific. We found in verse 39, verse 42, then verse 43, he prayed here. Well, let's look at it. He said, "If, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And then in verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done." And then he went again in verse 44 and prayed the third time, saying the same words. What's he praying about? Not death. Many people and some of the people I read after said, well, he's praying that he wouldn't die. He's not worried about death. Let me tell you why. Because he'd already said, "No man taketh my life from me. I'll lay it down, I'll pick it up." Christ never worried about death. That's not his fear. That's not what he's praying about here. He's not even praying about the cross, as horrible as it is. It's such a horrible physical death that it was, because he said in the book of Hebrews, he said, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame." So for the joy that was set before him, he could overcome, he could endure that cross. But he's not praying about the cross. He's not praying about death. What are you praying about? Praying about a cup. Three times he said, "Let this cup pass from me." He's praying that he won't have to drink the cup. And it's interesting, because Jesus knows the answer to his prayer may be no. If he didn't, he would not have said, "If it be thy will." If. That contingent. And he wants not to drink that cup. And this is where I want you to follow me to some references on this, about this cup. Go with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 75 and verse 8. Psalms 75, 8. "For in the hand of the Lord, there's a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth, shall wring them out and drink them." There, go with me to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51 and verse 17. "Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of the Lord this cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out." Now to Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah 25, verse 15. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the winecup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it." And then to the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14, verses 9 and 10. "And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead and in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. See, in that cup that Christ is praying, if there's any other way to save people, if there's any other way, then let's do it this other way. Is there any other way except me drinking this cup? And in that cup, as we've read, is the mixture of God's wrath towards sin and sinners. Now, we'll not call for show of hands, nor even itemize our sins this morning, because there are far too many. We don't have that many yellow pads. But do you realize, and there's things that each of us say we would never do. We're just like Peter. When Christ said, you're going to deny me, Peter said, well, everybody else might. But I'm kind of a superior Christian. See, I've been to some leadership classes, and therefore I'm a little ahead of everybody else. And I know how to write the divide, and so these others are probably going to flake off on you because they're Pentecostal. But I'll be there. See? I can do it. Because that, and in fact, Jesus quoted the scripture from the Old Testament. And what Peter's saying in essence is, I don't really believe that's literal. That's got to be allegorical. I'm not going to. And in fact, all the disciples ended up saying that. We wouldn't. Now, so think of something that you wouldn't. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time telling you would, but we know. but there's things, man, I just wouldn't do that. Maybe it's child molesting. This is the big thing today in society. If you want to, I mean, everybody, Democrats and Republicans, both are mad about that. But so I wouldn't do that. And this is what Jesus had to become. Get me and you say. We've lied, so he had to become a liar. And David had murdered, so he had to become a murderer. David had committed adultery, so Jesus had to become an adulterer. And you go down the list, and in that cup is all of the rotten, vile sins that man has ever done. And Jesus said, who is pure in heart, and things that would make you and I throw up. Think about it, because we're sinful. We sin every day. But here's the purest of the pure, and he sees these atrocious sins, and he said, Lord, is there any other way than I can get people to heaven than having to drink his cup? Is there any other way? And God, Jesus prayed three times in the garden, and God said, no. No. No other way. That's why Paul over in 2 Corinthians 5:21, if you don't have this one highlighted, you need to highlight it in your Bible. But he said, God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In that cup, all those rotten things you and I have done, Jesus Christ, that's why that the Son turned its back on the Son. It goes black. God the Father turns his back on the Son, and he cries from Calvary, my God, why has thou forsaken me? Because your sinner can't look upon sin. And in those hours, God showers on him every sin, every repugnant, every repulsive type of sin, to pay that you and I get the glory. fascinating. It was so hard on him. Turn with me to the book of Luke. It's not mentioned in Matthew, but Luke chapter 22. Something had occurred in this garden. Luke 22:44. And said, in being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. He's in the garden. The context he's showing is right where we've been reading. His sweat was, it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Before a Roman soldier ever put the lash on him, before a nail was ever driven into his hand, before a sword ever pierced his side, in that garden, Jesus Christ began to shed his blood for us. Oh, what a story. Great drops. The pressure that the very, some have said maybe his heart just erupted. I don't know. All we know is that great drops of blood on the ground. See, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Man. He shed his blood. He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God said no, so he could say yes to us. Think about that. I wished I had the words. I wished I had the vocabulary. I wished I could explain just a little bit of this, because I think the message should ought to just break our hearts of what Jesus did in that garden for me and you. And that every sin that he drank of, that's why he can wash them all away. He paid for them. He paid our debt because he took them upon himself. Our Father, bless those that are here today. Help us to just get a grasp of what we've read. Help us in the depths of our heart to see what you've done for us. Oh, how unworthy we are. Father, help us to be more bold in telling your story. Help us to get a better grasp on what you've done for us. Bless these people. Thank you for their help. Thank you for their support. Thank you for their prayers. Father, each of us have burdens and problems and situations. That's just part of the package of life. But help us in those times to come back to this garden and think about what you've done for us. Help us to be better ambassadors for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.